reach up to the Lord, reach out, take a breath, and hug the two people next to you. Pull them in and say, and go ahead and introduce yourself. Go ahead, say hi to someone new. Thank you. And you can go ahead and be seated. Thank you. This afternoon, we're going to be in the Psalm 19. Miles will be back next week. We'll continue in our series on the royal, but this week we're going to tie into the series on the royal and giving a background and really the whole entire Bible. And as God would, he reveals to us so many amazing dynamics of who he is, his character, but also all in desire to have a relationship with us. And I was reading this week on some church history and information. Do you realize that in the early church, from the time of Jesus and the disciples just starting out and spreading the good news about Jesus Christ and starting to write down the teachings in the first 60 years, by the end of the year 100 AD, first century, there were 25,000 Christians in the entire world. Now, it all started with the 12 disciples. Judas Iscariot turned against the Lord, those 11 disciples, and then more kept adding on. And as I'm reading this, 25,000 Christians, that's all there were in the entire world, and yet the world was transformed through the early beginnings. And if you don't realize this, last Easter, we had close to 25,000 people over Easter weekend services just in the Rock Church. Now that, I was just overwhelmed of what could happen if we all commit to what Jesus Christ has for our lives. Remember, the whole world only had 25,000 believers. And when we do these do something projects out in the community and out in Cayman, it's really the book of Acts coming alive, where they just went out, they broke bread, they served the needs of the people around them very practically. And there's going to be coming up in June 19th, I just want to give you a highlight on this to jump on board. I serve as one of the chaplains for the San Diego Fire Rescue Department. And our city is broke, and our fire department really is cutting back. They have brownouts now where they're closing certain stations during the day. They can't fund them. They have no money to repair facilities, to make the improvements that are needed. And so our pastor, when he heard this, his heart is to love the city of San Diego. And so we made a commitment to the fire chief, and they've been working with us saying, if the Rock Church will help us, they're going to open up all 44 of the fire stations, and we're going to go in teams, and we're launching this through our small group ministry and all of us here. We'll get signups in the next couple of weeks. You're going to be able to go in teams of like 20 to 30 to a fire station on June 19th, and they've already given us a list of what each station needs. We're going to paint, we're going to do tree trimming, we're going to throw out trash, we're going to jump on board. Just to love our city and to love those who put their life on the lines for us. And so I want to encourage you, and here's the need, because they don't even have the funding to buy the paint and all of that. And so we've gotten our list, and I just want to give this to you. Go to the information center afterwards. There's a box there. You can fill out some information or drop a business card. We need contractors that can help us with project managing, that construction contracting, as well as paint contractors, garden service. We need tree trimmers. We need some dump trucks and dumpsters to help remove debris from some of the stations. Handymans, again, painters. But we need a large quantity of paint to go in. We're going to go in, and actually quite a number of the stations are chipping paint and all of this to go scrape and paint. Great project for us. Plus, I threw it in as a chaplain because firefighters love food, love to cook. And I said, our teams are going to come in, and we're going to cook them gourmet lunches, you know, hot dogs, chili, whatever we come up with. But we volunteered you. So just encourage you on this. You know, we're part of something much bigger than ourselves. Amen? Well, let's pray together. Lord, I do thank you for this amazing church. the amazing people that make up the Rock, and you've just been doing and are going to do amazing things. And yet, I know you're much more concerned about who we are in you than what we do. And the doing grows out of the being close with you. And I pray this afternoon that you would encourage our hearts to really capture the glory of all that you have for us through your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I've shared before, and turn with me to Psalm 19. I grew up in Hermosa Beach up in L.A. County area, the beach community, and my dad was a police officer, so I have a love for emergency services. And when my mom got sick when I was about 9 years old, had cancer, breast cancer, it started spreading through her body, and she passed away when I was 12. And my sister was killed a couple years later in a car accident, and my family just kind of all went different directions. I didn't have a lot of history on my family. I didn't really know a lot about my mom, her history, and years later, as I married and had my kids, we were up visiting my dad, and my stepmom was up there, and while we were up there, she says, "Hey, Mickey, would you just go in the garage? Your dad's got that old dresser drawer full of his junk. Would you just clean it out? I want to throw everything out." So I went in, opened the drawers, and there was like treasure in there, all these pictures and all this history and all this stuff. So I emptied their Chester drawers, filled it in boxes. It's all in my garage now, so you know, I'll pass it on to my kids. But as I opened up the third drawer and looked inside, there was this little black book. It had a little tab on it, and I thought, oh, it must be a Bible, and it's gold leaf on the outside. And I opened it up, and lo and behold, I didn't even know this existed. It was my mom's 5-year diary. And I opened it up, has her name in there and the date. And she had written in it for 3 years, from when she was 16 years old till she was 18. And as I read this, and I found out she had a love for God, her faith, she was real active in serving children in her church, and she had this beautiful relationship with her daddy. Her and her daddy would go on dates all the time, and they'd go to a show and plays and all these things. He was always taking his daughter out, and it was in here. I learned about my mom and her love, her beliefs. I even found out she was a little boy crazy in one of the sections there. Had a crush on all these different guys, but it told her story. And that night, I came home, and I was just reading it, and it was, you know, tears flowing in my eyes. And then I looked over and set it next to my Bible, and then God spoke to my heart and said, you know, that's what this is. I'm your daddy, your heavenly father. And in this, like a diary, like a journal, it's all that I want you to know about me. My heart, the beliefs that I want you to have, my story, my history, the people I love. And I started to read the Bible from a different perspective, not out of a sense of a textbook, not like, you know, it's just this intellectual material, but it became alive to me, to know it's relational. The Bible says that the Scripture is like a sword. It'll pierce between the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It brings life. It's alive. It's active. And as our pastor, and you know, I've known Miles for 26 years, since he first came to the Lord, got involved in ministry. We're in ministry together. And, you know, you've got a unique man who loves God with all of his heart. And his life, you know, I know him behind the scenes. He's the real deal, a man of integrity, man of truth. But his passion is that we, as the Rock Church, would get it and that we would yield our lives to God, to let God do his work in us, that we can live the dream that God has given us and the passion, and that we would live with a purpose, that we would be transformed into the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. And so I'm encouraging you as we, each week you get the study guide, and on the back there's a devotion. Every day, just read one chapter, and Miles is giving us a guide of how to understand the Scripture. You read it. And what does it say? What did it say to them? And then you reflect. What does it mean to me today and in the days that I live in? And then respond. What do I do about it? So every day is a reading. And in our small groups, the Rock Church has got about 600 small groups all out around the county. And in our small groups, we reflect on what Miles was teaching. We look at the scriptures there, and then there's one of the daily devotions that we all are reading and reflecting. We get together and share what we're learning and our insights to encourage one another. If we'll do this as a church, I just know God is going to do amazing things to reach around the world. Now here, Psalm 19 is almost like a preamble to the entire Bible. In fact, in miniature, Psalm 19 is like an abstract in research journals. It's summarizing an entire article. And Psalm 19 really summarizes Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible, the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's all about God revealing himself through his word and revealing himself through other means. So join me in the first six verses where on your study guide it says, God's world, Psalm 19, 1 through 6. Verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Now, I'd like to point out there on your study guide, it says general revelation. The first six verses here in Psalm 19 deal with general revelation, natural revelation, where God is revealing himself through creation. In fact, look at the scripture. He says, the heavens declare, the firmament shows, day unto day utters speech. It reveals. A voice is heard. God is declaring through his creation, through the wonders that you actually, as it says on your study guide, through creation and conscience, we learn about God. You don't necessarily know his name or know him personally, but you're given revelation where you can learn about his attributes, his power, his order, his harmony, all through creation. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 20, on your study guide listed there, if you take notes, Romans chapter 1, actually I'll start in verse 18. It says, people suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. In verse 20 of Romans 1, listen to what it says. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. God reveals himself. His attributes are clearly seen, and we're without excuse. Now, I have my granddaughter. She's 5 years old, and a couple of years ago, and as I mentioned, I grew up in Hermosa Beach, a beach community. My grandmother taught my dad, because my grandmother grew up in Southern California, and my dad grew up in Southern California, and in the beach community, there's a lot of things that people miss that you do, and as a child, my dad taught me about the kelp balls. You know, in the kelp, seaweed that washes up, especially in September, if you open up the root balls of the kelp and they're fresh, in it is all this marine life. And as a kid growing up, I'd have my bucket and I'd fill it up with water and we would open up the kelp roots and pull out, there's actually sea anemone, there's shrimp, baby lobster, there's all sorts of brittle stars, starfish. And as a kid, I would make these aquariums and play with it for hours. Well, as I became an adult and I had children, I would take my children to the beach. The other thing you do as a parent, you take a shovel and dig a hole. You dig a 6-foot hole in the beach, every kid on that beach will be in that hole with, you know, it's just something magic about holes in the ground. Well, with my kids, I taught them and we would do this. Every time we go to the beach, it was fun to make an aquarium and then other children. Well, now that I'm a grandpa, You have those milestones. You're looking forward to the day, you know. And so we were at the beach, and my grandson, my granddaughter were there. And, you know, we go down there, and I see a kelp ball, and I thought, oh, great, I get to show them the aquarium. We had a little bucket. And so I start tearing it open, and sure enough, there's these brittle stars, tons of brittle stars and little shrimp and all these critters that you make a little aquarium. And my granddaughter's going, okay, Papa, can we go? Can we go? And I was going, wait. Now all these other children were coming and look, oh, cool, you know, and they're, wow, I never knew that was in there. So finally, my granddaughter's going, Papa, can we go? And I said, okay. And I left the bucket there. Other children are playing. And so we're walking back up, and my granddaughter, she's talking with me, and I go, so what'd you think of the aquarium? Isn't it so amazing? And she says, looks right up at me and goes, not so much. And here I am trying to, you know, something I've been looking forward to showing her. And so her response was, not so much. And I realized sometimes God, our Heavenly Father's declaring the wonders of His creation. The wonders. We're without excuse. The order, the harmony, understanding His attributes, His beauty, and all that His design. And sometimes we just see it and we get busy about life. Not so much. You know, right now you're sitting in this auditorium in San Diego, California, in Point Loma, the Rock Church, and we're spinning thousands of miles an hour, traveling tens of thousands of miles through the universe. The planet Earth, we'll put it up on the screen. As you look at the planet Earth, there we are in relationship to some of the smaller planets, Venus. And there you are, on the other side of the globe in San Diego. We're the tiny speck on this entire huge planet. And the earthquakes, shaking, the volcanoes, all that's going on right now. But if you put the Earth in relationship to Jupiter and some of the larger planets, you see that, well, we're not such a big deal, you know, but there we are in San Diego, in our planet, you know, in our auditorium right now, and God's wanting to speak to us. Now you back up a little more and show Jupiter and Earth in relationship to the sun. There you go. And there we are in Point Loma in an auditorium. Can you see yourself there? And you're a really big deal. You know, now that sun is 93 million miles away from us right now, but let's back up a little further and you look at our sun in relationship to Arcturus. Now, you can't even find Earth in relationship to our sun, in relationship to some of the larger stars, but let's back out even further and put Arcturus in relationship to Antares. And there's our sun, where that arrow is. You can't even see it as a speck. And right next to it, you're on this planet that's spinning around our sun in our solar system, and we are a big deal. How great is your God? How big and awesome and wonderful to know that Scripture says that God flung the stars out with His fingertips. And He wants a relationship with you. And He's revealed Himself to us that we would discover the awe and majesty, the God of the universe, that comes and wants to have relationship. Now, that is amazing. Now, let's shrink all the way down. Do you realize, right in your noggin right now, in your brain, there are 100 billion neurons, nerve cells, that connect to dendrites, which are the branches that connect to synapses, which connect to other dendrites that go into a cell. In your brain, 100 billion nerve cells. Now, the brain is about 2% of your body mass, 3 pounds, made up. 85% of it is fluid, like water, kind of consistency of tofu, your tofu head. You know, if I call you tofu head, that's a reality. And you multiply all those neurons to how many synapses connect. There are more cells in your brain than there are stars in our galaxy, but there are 100 billion times 40,000 connections in your brain. There are more connections of information traveling in your brain than there are stars in the universe. You have a universe in your brain. And people actually believe that it just happened. We have conscious thought. I have a firefighter friend that I met, just an amazing guy. He's a paramedic, loves the sciences. And we got together. There were some counseling things that he had some questions, and we met. And finally, we were talking, and I said, well, where are you with your faith? And he goes, you know, I'm not there. I don't believe in God. I'm pretty convinced in evolution. I go, really? Really? I got him some books that were out at the time. This is a number of years ago on intelligent design and creation and some of the statistical aspects and looking at second law of thermodynamics and some of the fossil record information. And he was very inquisitive, started studying, started reading. And after a number of months, we got back together and he says, you know, I'm intellectually convinced there must be a God by creation. There must be a God. Just the complexity of life and just one cell and the statistical impossibility for stuff to just spontaneously come to such complexity. And so at that point, I said, well, do you want Jesus in your life? Would you want to receive him as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we enter into this relationship. We're saved. And he said this. He says, no, I'm just not there yet. I believe there's a God. And he said, honestly, I don't want to give up on my sin. And I said, that's a scary stance to take, knowing the God of the universe, you're going to someday stand in judgment before him. He goes, I'm just not there yet. Well, he took a transfer and left San Diego, had a position up in Oakland, lost contact. It was a couple years later. He showed back up in church. I ran into him. I go, hey, Mike, how you doing? He goes, I'm born again. I've asked Jesus into my life. I'm a Christian. I was like, really? That is awesome. I go, tell me your story. How'd that happen? He goes, kind of different. I was actually on a call. We were up in Oakland, and there was about 2 in the morning. Bars are closing down, and there was a big fight. One guy got beat up, bludgeoned, drunk, thrown out. We're called. We arrive on scene. And we're having to transport him to the hospital. So he's on the gurney. We're on our way to the hospital. The light's flashing. And all of a sudden, this guy lifts his head off the gurney and starts talking to me. And he said, if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior, you're going to hell. And this is not exaggerating. He's telling me this story. And he goes, oh, really? So what has he done for you? And this guy says, I am an example of living a life in rebellion against God. And the same will happen to you. And he said, right then, the Holy Spirit convicted my heart. I saw my future. What was I doing with my life? And he said, right at that moment, I prayed with this guy, and I received Jesus Christ on the way to the hospital. Now, he tells me this. And I'm like, that is wrong. I gave you books. I tried to answer your questions. No, it's just amazing that God's ways aren't our ways, and God's timing, and where our hearts are, and the hardness of our heart. Do you realize every one of us in this room, you're going to give an account to the revelation of God? I had a woman come to me, and she said, you know, I had a dream, and a true dream. She said, I had this dream that I was at the judgment and we're approaching the throne of God. I couldn't see his face. And all humanity was dividing. And I remembered the Bible talked about this, and I'm coming. And all humanity, the sheep and the goats, dividing. And as she was approaching, she didn't know which way to go, to the left or to the right. And she started to panic in her dream, and she literally woke up in a frenzy, turned on her light, opened her Bible, and found it in Matthew 25, where the sheep and the goat are divided in the right and the left. And going to the right is where those that would approach God. She closed her Bible, went back to sleep, and God took her right back to that same dream. And she's approaching the throne. God was speaking to her, approaching the throne of God. And then she knew the right, the right, the right. And then she thought, his right or my right? And she said, in my dream, I just called out and said, Jesus, Jesus. Now, someday, we're going to give an account for how we respond to God's revelation. Now, when you enter and approach the throne of God, it's his right, your left, okay? Just so you have that down. And any doubt, call on Jesus. Well, the revelation of God, the general revelation, we can learn about God, but God goes even deeper and further to let us know him personally. intimately. Look at, as we read on in verse 7, the world, God's world and God's word. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, yea, than fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. There's God's world where we learn about God, but there's God's word where we can know him personally. On your study guide, it says special revelation through God's word and his son. We can know him personally. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God reveals not just about who he is, but who he is personally by name. We can know him. In Hebrews chapter 1, I'll read to you the first verse of Jesus Christ. It says, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in the past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. I mean, we can reflect on the universe. We can realize there's a universe in our head, the complexity of what God has given. We can learn about the order and harmony. But yet, God desires a relationship, personal relationship, that he's investing his son. God so loved us that he sent his son into the world to die and to pay a debt that we could never pay. I want you to look at your study guide for a moment as our pastor has been going through and teaching us how to read and how to reflect and how to respond. And actually, Psalm 19 does the work for us. He gives us the reading and actually inserts the reflection upon what that reading reveals. And then we're left to decide how to respond. I want you to take out a pen or pencil, if you're not a note taker, but I'm going to ask you to respond to what God reveals to us in his word that would apply to you personally. Let's start in verse 7, where it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. And the Hebrew word there is complete. It's complete. You don't need any other books. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And so the reflection is, the law is perfect. We read that. The reflection, his word will convert the soul. So here's what I want you to do. Given that revelation, his word is perfect, it brings conversion in people's lives. What would be a response that God would encourage you personally to be challenged to do something? Put your reflection in there. What would your response be? His word's perfect, converts for me. I read that and realize, you know, I have a responsibility to evangelize, to share my faith, to tell people, to do things as a witness of who God is. Now, in the same verse, it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And so the reading, I read it, his word is sure. The word in Hebrew means faithful. His word's faithful. It will give wisdom. Now, if you know the scripture will give you wisdom, what would you do about it? What would be your response? Write it in. Fill in the blank. Whatever God would speak to your heart. You see, it can become very personal to where you're at. For me, I respond and realize, you know, I would study God's word to grow in wisdom. Now, here's the benefit of God's word. If you look at the bottom of your study guide, listen, Joshua 1:8, it says this, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You shall observe to do all that is written in it, For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Some of us here, you know, just pounding against life. And God all along is saying, I want to speak to you. I want to pour into you. I want to prosper you. Slow down. Spend some time with me that you could hear my heart, that you could hear my voice. I want to give you wisdom. I want to convert your soul. Look what it says in Psalm 1. There in the very bottom, it says, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Look what he says. Whatever he does shall prosper. You see, God's word is living and active, and as you read it, as you reflect, his word will transform, and he prospers our soul, prospers our inner life. And so the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoices the heart. And for me, I thought, celebrate. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is his strength, that God loves when we celebrate, we enjoy the richness of a relationship with him. There's a gentleman named Augustine, way back in the early church, 386 A.D., way back. He was a brilliant man, a brilliant scholar, very learned, but he loved to party, drinking and carousing. And at one point, he was reading actually a testimony, a story, a narrative of a Christian, a devout Christian who had given his life for the cause of Jesus Christ. And he's reading this and reading of this life, this pure witness of the Lord. He just had this conviction, like my friend. He just saw the wretchedness of how he was living his life, not fulfilling for purpose. And all of a sudden, over the wall, some children were playing next door, and he's under conviction, and he hears these children singing a rhyme, and they said, in I think Latin, tole lege, and he heard that, and translated would be, take up and read, take up and read. And right there near him, he had one of the copies of the writings of Paul's letter to the Romans. Now, it didn't have chapter and verse in those days. He just picked it up and started to read. And this is where the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, led him. It's what we would call chapter 13, verse 13. Augustine read, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And here's how God's Spirit works. His conscience was pricked. He was convicted. He was evaluating his life, and he was led to read, and God's word came alive and spoke right into his life, right to where he was at. And that's how God's word will speak right to you where he had a decision to make. And at that moment, he broke. He broke, and weeping, he called out for God's mercy and experienced a transformation of his life and received Jesus Christ, became one of the fathers of our faith to teach Scripture using that brilliant mind, that gift. Do you realize people in history, church history, we have people like Wycliffe and Tyndale. They actually wanted to translate the Bible out of Latin into English so that people could read it on their own. And they got so much persecution and pushback by the organized church, they literally lost their lives trying to make the Bible available to us. Tyndale was burned alive on a rotisserie, slowly. Wycliffe was strangled, and while his breath was still in him, they lit him on fire. And his whole purpose of living was that he could translate the Scripture so that we could have it in the English language to read it. And some of us have Bibles that we're just so busy, and God's saying, I want to show you who I am, how much I have for you, how much I love you, to understand the purposes and principles of life. And some of us, oh, not so much. Tole lege, take up and read. Just read. I'll do wonders in your life. Makes me think of the married couples retreat. I know there's couples in this church, probably hundreds, that struggle in their relationship. Contemplating divorce, they're fighting, they're conflict, and here comes our pastor saying, I want to have a retreat. Bring you together. Let God minister to you. It's like Einstein says, you know, many of us, you go doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting different results. It's insanity. And God's holding his arms up, saying, come, take a read. Be refreshed as couples. I want to bless you. I just want to bless you. And then we say, not so much. We go our way. And as you look at the scriptures here, it says the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightens the eyes. Meditate on his word. The fear of the Lord is clean, endures forever. We need to repent. So these reflections, judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. My reflection, I thought, believe, believe. And then he says in verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Be obedient, obedient to the scriptures. Now from Genesis to Revelation, when God reveals in Acts and wondrous miracles, he reveals himself through his son. You read the story all through Scripture where people responded to the revelation of God, general revelation, special revelation, and they worshiped. They respond by saying, God, you are God. You are awesome. You are mighty. How great is our God? And I'm going to encourage you, before we rush out into the world, don't be rushing out of here. Now, I know you're going to go to the bookstore, place your orders for your software, sign up for all that you can do in the community, go get the food over at Vaughn's to donate. But I think very appropriate, before we rush out, let's realize we serve a great God. And I'm going to invite you just to stand reverently and let your heart express to the Lord your love. Let's worship the Lord together as we close. After the service or even during worship, if you have burdens on your heart, special needs, illness, struggles, our leadership team will be up here. Pastors, we have oil to anoint you with oil according to the scriptures. Either during worship or after the service, we want to invite you to come and let us just encourage you.